live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
I'm very sorry to say the suffering of COVID will be magnified many times over in a world that does not grapple with and ultimately halt the climate crisis. We don't have the luxury of waiting until COVID is vanquished to take up the climate challenge. So
today is, in fact, the day the Lord has made. There's an opportunity for us to rejoice. And these are the times in which God has decided we shall live, times such as these. Oh, my goodness, John Kerry. SARS-CoV-2 will never be vanquished. The Spanish flu's still right here, hanging out. You're probably breathing Spanish flu right now and blowing it out on people. There's Spanish flu flying out of your beaks. That's because viruses don't go away. We develop immunities to them, actual immunities. There's this thing called T-cell immunity, and there's something else called crossover immunity. And this ain't a COVID segment. It's a capriciousness segment. Those words were spoken by a man who flies in private planes a lot, a whole bunch, to accept awards for saving the world from a byproduct of private planes. If you believed for one second that the world was ending because of behaviors like that, you wouldn't engage in those behaviors unless you were a psychopath like Tony Fauci appears to be. I have a friend who is a very liberal man. He is the most honest man I've ever known. He has a heart condition which could lead to him dying, but he still rides his bicycle to work because he believes to do otherwise will kill the earth and will kill the planet for his grandchildren and for human beings evermore. So he risks his life every morning pedaling a bicycle to work. He's the only guy I'll pick up when we go to lunch who is a global warming alarmist because he lives the lifestyle. He lives in the city, though he'd like to live in the country. He considers it immoral to live, to go seize more land for human beings. He is a guy who believes we should all live in high rises. So he does, because he is a honest man. He himself admits that people like John Kerry are a detriment to his cause, to his life's cause. That man's in new business he's been running for 5 or 6 years now is committed to reducing the amount of stuff that goes in landfills. And it's a great business model. Tyranny is always capricious. John Kerry is capricious. He flies on private planes. He doesn't want you to be able to eat beef that he eats. His wife is a ketchup heiress. The reason tyranny is capricious is A, because it can be. B, because capriciousness leads to control. If the kid in the house doesn't know that it's okay to sit on the couch or not, that's going to lead to fear. Some days you sit on the couch, it's okay. Some days you sit on the couch and your father gives you one right upside the head, a slap upside the face to the nose bleeding. That's capricious. And it's a control method. People walk on eggshells. Morning Joe. Remember this? Morning Joe. He lit up his sweater one morning with anger, righteous anger, that people would question our election system. In fact, Morning Joe went so far as to say, basically, love it or leave it. Love it or leave it.
America, love it or leave it. If you don't have respect in American democracy anymore, if you don't respect Madisonian checks and balances, if your guy doesn't win, if that's the new rules of engagement for this great republic, then just leave our country.
Emphatic. Emphatic. The dude is preaching it because he feels it. He feels it deeply in his teleprompter. or in his sense of things, or something like that. Because that same morning, Joe, who felt so unbelievably righteous, righteously angry, he didn't feel righteously angry, or at least he didn't air his righteous anger, when you had Democrats saying this.
I continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
Our researchers have repeatedly demonstrated that ballot recording machines and other voting systems are susceptible to tampering.
Even hackers.
Madisonian checks and balances, love it or leave it.
With limited prior knowledge, tools, and resources are able to breach voting machines in a matter of minutes.
If this is the new rules of engagement, if you don't trust our system, leave our country.
In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switched votes from one candidate to another.
The biggest seller of voting machines is doing something that violates cybersecurity 101, directing that you install remote access software, which would make a machine like that, you know, a magnet for fraudsters and hackers.
If you're some 50-year-old megahead who questions, leave our country. Madisonian checks and balances and where's my girlfriend who I was cheating on my wife with? Where'd she go? Doesn't she co-host the show with me? Mika? Oh. Why is she talking to that dude over there? Love it or leave it.
Voting machines can be hacked quite easily.
You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact...
Love it or leave it. Love it.
Three companies are controlling this.
It is the...
And by the way, the clip continues for another minute and 15 seconds. So, let's get back down to facts. Is it okay to be concerned about the integrity of voting machines? It depends. Now see, the word "it depends," or the phrase "it depends," does not match up well with the word principles. As a principle, should we demand transparency and clarity in the results of our votes? Should we demand insight into how the system works? Should we demand to be able to see the computer code from these companies? Should we demand a paper trail for everything? Should we demand that these machines not be connected to the internet at any time? Should we demand these things? Are these our principles? It depends. Go to a security firm, an IT security firm, as an employee. And say this in a meeting.
Yeah, I've been thinking that we should have an off switch for the firewall. That's just a red button that any employee can turn off the firewall. I'd like to turn off the firewall. Also, the malware blockers. Just maybe we could make that an orange switch next to the red switch. I'd just like to be able to turn off the fraud prevention as well. The database checker that we're cross-checking phone numbers against to make sure we're not getting defrauded. In fact, maybe we could just make one switch that would just turn off all fraud prevention just with a click of a button.
Why would you want to do that?
Sometimes you want fraud.
Oh, okay. That seems capricious. But we're not to be concerned about it unless it involves Orange Man Bad. Now, part of it could be bias. Morning Joe launched President Trump's political career. The View used to love having Trump on the TV. The ladies of The View would come out and hug him and kiss him and touch his hair and... You're so tall. How come you're so tall? All you Trump boys are so tall. Then it was, you're a racist, orange racist, racist the orangey. Because tyranny is always capricious. And it's always divisive. Remember when Mitch McConnell got rolled into fighting against Obamacare? He did get rolled into that. Who rolled him into that? We did at the Republican National Committee. We forced his hand. We were under orders from Mitch McConnell and John Boehner to not fight against Obamacare. I know that because I was in the RNC leadership meeting with just the division heads and the chairman and chief of staff when Michael Steele, before he became a TDS victim, said, we need to fight Obamacare. It's socialism. It's going to destroy our country. And two staff members said, no. Mitch McConnell and John Boehner have made it clear. Let this pass. They do not want us to fight this. Michael Steele, before he became a victim of Trump derangement syndrome, said, I am going to fight it. We are going to do this. And we did, and we forced Mitch McConnell's hand.
This is an unconstitutional power grab. President, four people purchased a health care plan, government proof. This free market system, maybe should be allowed to have insurance they want. It's their body. It's their choice. Isn't that what the Democrats said?
That was McConnell forced into that position. Here's Mitch McConnell talking about the mRNA injections, which have, if the VAERS database is right, killed more people than all 30 years of the existence of the VAERS database and all the vaccines associated with the VAERS database. More people than that for a virus with a 99.87% survival rate.
These shots need to get in everybody's arm as rapidly as possible, or we're going to be back in a situation in the fall that we don't yearn for, that we went through last year.
We are. Do you have any modicum of control over that, Mitchell? See, Mitchell has been divided.
I'm afraid looking like anti-science. That's a bad position. Take national media, put you on TV and say that you're anti-science. Plus, have you checked out my balance sheet? I get a lot of money from Big Pharma. The opioid makers locate in Kentucky. I'm my home state's from Kentucky. I don't like it there. I don't like Kentucky because I like the nice restaurants in Washington, D.C. People up here, they call me senator. I get to park wherever I want. Have you seen my office? It's very, very large.
He's been divided because tyranny is always capricious and divisive. And here's just a proof point on the divisiveness. Let's just go through the logic chain. Can any adult get the mRNA injection? Yes. Can anyone over the age of 12 get the mRNA injection? Yes. Is there anything stopping them from getting the mRNA injection? Not really, unless they can't get to a place where they give it. And now we have people going around states like North Carolina sticking it in people. That sounded horrible. I don't mean that. Sticking the shots in people, the mRNA injections. So we've got that. Are people under the age of 18 likely to die of this? No, they're far more likely to die from the flu. Far, far more likely to die from the flu. In fact, they are 15 times more likely to be hospitalized due to the injection than they are the COVID flu. Those are all just facts. Those are all just the math. Are you then, by refusing to be injected with a drug, mRNA, that causes your body to produce a foreign object, a spike protein, which is a sharp bit of matter in your body that is going to create blood clots, blissfully, thank God, usually very small, your body handles, sometimes not small, and they can kill you, such as the 19-year-old college student killed by Wheaton University. If you decide to not get that stuff, are you then a bioreactor? Remember all the things we've heard from the left. Decriminalize drug use, body, and choice. Let people kill a baby after it's born if the toe is still inside the mother. Body and choice. Remember all of those things. But the drug crime, that's victim-free, is it? Have you been around families where the parents have become addicted to drugs and watched kids crawl around on the floor eating dog food? Because my buddy, who's a rural sheriff, sees that scene about 12 times a year in meth houses. Body and choice. Tyranny is always capricious and it's always divisive. Here's the divisive part of the so-called governor of Washington State, Jay Inslee.
If you're a 50-year-old man who, you know, voted for Donald Trump and didn't think COVID was a problem and you don't get vaccinated right now, you arrest every kid in your city because you could be spreading a virus to a 10-year-old who can't get eligible for the vaccine right now.
And, thank God, is not at risk from the virus. Is, in fact, at 15 times greater risk of being hospitalized from the injection itself. Jay Inslee. That's the divisive part. He's putting out a hit on Trump supporters. He's labeling anybody who voted for Trump and doesn't want the mRNA injection as worse than a pedophile. A pedophile has to seek out a kid and groom a kid and then get the kid to engage in sexual activity and then hide it from the parents. Unless it's just a flat-out rape and a seizing of a kid, then you got to go through the work of finding the kid, seizing the kid, getting in the kid in the car, raping the kid. Jay Inslee is making Trump voters who don't get the mRNA injection worse than a child rapist just by virtue of existing. Just by walking down the street, just by sitting in your car or your truck because you're a Trump supporter, your high-rise truck on the lift kit. You're a bioreactor. Here's the capriciousness. Because of the COVID flu, Jay Inslee stopped criminal background checks on employees of daycare centers because of the COVID flu. He stopped them. You no longer have to do that. So you can be a pedophile, go to work at a daycare center, and they don't have to check your background. Jay Inslee, legalized, purposely giving someone HIV. He legalized that. So if you're someone who gets off on giving people HIV, and it sounds weird, but there are people who want to do that. It's, to me, even more odd. There are people who want to get HIV. It's called bug hunting, and I think it's a very small percentage of people who want to do that. Their body, their choice. Decriminalize it. Jay Inslee, who's speaking of Trump supporters being dangerous, has inserted into the Washington State school curriculum so pornographic and so perverse that lifetime law enforcement officer Jim Fuda told me in an interview it's so perverse that he compared it basically to grooming. He said this will make life easier for pedophiles, sex offenders, rapists, sex traffickers. Jay Inslee did that. Jay Inslee, who says Trump supporters are bioreactors by virtue of living, refuses to crack down on Seattle or Olympia, where sex trafficking is up, well, in Washington State, sex trafficking is up 2,000% under Jay Inslee. But man, you don't get the mRNA injection. And you're a Trump supporter? You're a bioreactor. You're killing 10-year-olds just waking up in the morning. You should kill yourselves. Tyranny is always capricious. It is always divisive. Huh. If only there was a spiritual construct where you could say one side is divisive and encourages chaos and capriciousness, and the other side has built ultimate order. But alas, we're just clumps of cells. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with your text messages.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
You can also email us, therman@ktth.com. on that very email, Nicole writes, "Dear Todd, I was listening to your program this morning. I'm a new listener. I found you through Rush's program. I miss Rush every day. I'm thankful that you're getting to carry on his legacy, even though your show is uniquely your own. If I had heard a discussion 2 years ago about Cloward Piven, I would have turned the radio station off thinking that I was about to be engaging in conspiracy theory listening. Watching what I've watched the past year, I now understand that there are people who, as you said, intend to tear this country apart. I vaguely remember hearing Francis Fox Piven's name on radio years ago. I cannot remember the host who said it, and I had just that reaction. Oh, come on, she's some professor who wants people to register to vote when they get a driver's license. Where we're at now in our country with the confirmation that the military is being used to ship illegal immigrants into cities and are not to talk about it is confirmation that the government does not want us to go know that's going on. This can only be described as subterfuge. There are people who want to take our country apart. We've seen that in the past year, and it's simply accelerated. Thank you for what you do, for carrying on the legacy that Rush created in talk radio, even though your show, as I said, is uniquely your own. Give my thanks to Alex for the bump music and for the show overall, Nicole." Nicole, I appreciate that. And she has a picture here of the Sunshine State in her signature, so I'm going to guess that Nicole looks like you're running from Florida. Thank you for doing that. On the text line, 800-465-8770, Jeff in Florida. "Todd, I do listen to you a lot when I'm in the gym. So many times you've got me laughing just before I put up weight. You haven't caught me mid-rep yet. Love the show, brother." Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. I wish I could find the note. There's a guy who wrote to us years ago and said we were doing some really hard-hitting segment and the facts were flying and I was heated and he was banging and clanging and he was just thinking about that. The commercial break came up and a personal note came on and it was kind of a funny story to begin with, and then it just dropped the emotional hammer. And he said that he started to cry on the bench press, and I think he said he had like three plates on, and just thank goodness he didn't have the barbell clipped. He's able to unload it. Dave in Texas. OMG, Mitch McFarma. That's my name. People in Kentucky, they call me Senator McFarma. Mitch McFarma, LMAO. Side note, your personal notes are amazing. Can't tell you how many times at the end of them, like yesterday's, I had to listen to the show notes because Apple Podcast was uploaded the same day. Just saying, dang it, Todd, because I'm tearing up. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Dave. Love Texas. And love that you're listening from Texas. It's a mind blower. Appreciate it. Craig, I listen to you live on podcast because your show is so heavy in content. I love it. I never miss either live or on podcast. Also, while I'm training, it's a blast. I burst out laughing sometimes and people think I'm crazy. Good thing is they already think I'm crazy because they wear Trump gear every day. Ha. Thank you for that, Craig. Appreciate that. Some of the regulars to the program on the topic of Dr. Perjury. Look, just because there's a definition of gain of function research that my team wrote, and what we did is an exact match for that. There's no wiggle room. Just because we did exactly what we said we weren't allowed to legally do, and I said we didn't do that, that doesn't mean I'm lying. Look, you don't know what you're talking about, Rand Paul. Have you seen? I'm on Ebony Magazine. I'm not even black. I'm on Ebony Magazine. I'm very important. On the topic of the Fauci and Fauchism, Mr. Cade. Morning, Todd. On the virus, they're sending positive cases from the southern border all around the country and propping up the new 2021 variant of the flu in order to get the numbers to rise for the midterm lockdown. Lots of people are predicting the midterm lockdown. I'd love to say, oh, come on. But I can't. I can't say that because the entire swindle began in March of 2020. CrossFit Country Boy. If you're playing the Fauci, don't forget to play the Fauci in 2017, presently guessing and divining the future by claiming Trump would be challenged by a SARS outbreak in his first term. It's the tell. Yeah, there's no doubt that President Trump is going to face a surprise SARS-CoV-2 outbreak that will come about somewhere close to election period. He did make that prediction, didn't he? Crab Walker. Hey, Todd and Alex, not sure if you guys have heard of this new vaccine called Novavax. It's not mRNA and seems to resemble more of a multi-purpose traditional vaccine. If, and I'll say again, if it is approved under an emergency authorization, I might be willing to take it. I bet the big three companies are not going to want to share their profits, though. I think I've heard of this, Crab. There are researchers who say they have created a vaccine that vaccinates you against everything. Man, I wouldn't get within 1,000 feet of that. We don't understand for 5 seconds why there's viruses. We don't understand the ways in which we benefit from that. It used to be that people thought all bacteria was bad. Rid your home of all bacteria. We ended up with people getting illnesses they never would have gotten because they never learned to deal with bacteria. You get a vax that blocks everything, it won't. Nature is too complex. The universe is too complex. God's plan is not going to be stopped. You will end up with mutants, viruses run amok if they do this. Part of being an ambitious scientist is if we can, we should. Hence, you have scientists in China doctoring up pig hearts to be inserted into human beings. Like just so that your body doesn't reject the pig heart. They do something to the pig heart. I will say publicly, I would rather die than have a pig heart because I would rather die human. And I don't fear death at all. I don't want it right now. I won't cause it, but I don't fear it. I do fear giving control to the technocrats. Darth, the homeless windshield rock throwers sure helped to improve the business model of those replacing windshields. Collusion, maybe? Just kidding. That's right. They can't get people to come to work to replace windshields. Another crisis unfolds. Oy. Jails and mental institutions used to take care of these people. They did. But then again, that's racism. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show and wrap up the day with a personal note next on the Todd Herman Show.
All clear in Napa Vine, the wreck that blocked Highway 12 for a long time between I-5.
Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, the respect of your father can be things that people chase their entire life. There's a difference between being loved by your dad. You would assume that dads are going to love their kids. And most do. There's a difference between being loved and respected or admired. As an equal, maybe not, because the dad is always the dad, but what about as a near equal? Sometimes it starts as a little kid, and there's positive and negatives about this. I was just thinking about what was my first public speaking engagement? I have a picture of it. I am dressed in a little kid's sport coat. It was a double-breasted blue affair, and I'm wearing a kind of gold hat, and I'm standing next to a young girl. We were in third grade. Her name was Patty. Patty was a big girl, very tall, always super athletic, always bigger than the other girls. And Patty and I went on stage in third grade to perform Abbott and Costello's Who's On First. We had rehearsed it to a T. We didn't have comic timing. We were little kids. We copied beat for beat the comic timing of the iconic Who's On First of Abbott and Costello. Who's on first? Yes. No, I mean the fella's name. Who? The guy on first. Who? The first baseman. Who is on first? Remember that? We did that in third grade, and people laughed. It was my dad's favorite skit. I was doing it for dad. And my dad laughed, and I loved it. Patty's parents loved it. I went on to be someone who was comfortable speaking in public and was, in fact, voted the class speaker at graduation in high school. And Patty didn't. She went on to be a quiet person who participated in sports and was sort of to the side of the other girls because she didn't look like girls are supposed to look. I'd love to check in with her. I never stopped remembering that. Patty and I would joke about it when we'd see each other. Remember people coming and say, did you guys really do that when you're little kids? Yep. I'd love to see her and see where she's at with her life. Sometimes the seeking of parental respect is a difficult path to run. There was a boy I wrestled with, and we were at a wrestling match at our high school. And I'd known him through wrestling. You get to know people at tournaments, etc. He was a super skilled athlete in track, but not in wrestling. And I beat him at this match pretty badly. And my dad came to congratulate me. And my dad did respect wrestling. He never did it. He did football. And he respected those combat-type sports. And I was talking to my friends and took this congratulations from my dad and looked over at this boy I'd beaten. And his dad spit in his face and slapped him for having not won that match. And then he walked towards me, and he was a rough man. He was a hard man. And he made eye contact with me, and he walked right up to me. And he said, good match, stud. And he walked away. I do know that boy, who's now a man, who's now a combat vet, who's now back in the world, who attempted to achieve respect by beating his dad up. Well, he got respect. He's working on getting love. He's working on trying to figure out how to unwire this man, this hard man. And he's trying to get there by going back in time and figuring out, where did my father become this hard man? And he's come upon the fact that his own father, his grandfather, never found a way to respect that young man. So I hope my friend can rebuild that love. Sometimes chasing respect can take the place of just simply loving. There's another person I did a little stage thing with in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. We used to do Saturday Night Live type news. This is a person, young man, who didn't speak the way a young man should speak. Spoke with a lisp. Still does. Found the respect of his father when he went to his father and said, you're making fun of me for playing tennis? Come and try it. His dad had the boy, had the dad tried his tennis. His boy shouldn't play tennis. They should play football. They should wrestle. So my friend took him out to the tennis court. And a lot of us got to watch. when this guy found out what it's really like to try to play tennis at the level that his son did. Oh, by the way, the lisp, still there. My friend's happy his kids don't have it. Three sons. This is the Todd Herman Show. We every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Live on the West Coast on podcasts everywhere. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.